Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, August the 2nd. Very warm and, but otherwise, pretty day here in North Texas. I think we still have the month of August ahead of us to deal with these temperatures. We actually been under 100 for most of this week, but I just heard on the radio earlier today that we'll be back up to 100 on Monday. So that's not surprising. That's usually where we are, give or take a couple of degrees around 100. Today we're going to talk about some polls that came out here in Texas. Senator Cruz, as you know, is running for re-election against Representative O'Rourke of South Texas, and some new polling data came out that frankly doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I have a post coming out Friday morning about Maxine Waters. This lady has some ethical issues, and I think it's about time that we deal with it, because it's more than just an isolated thing. It's beginning to become a pattern in this lady's life. But I want to begin. With some new information that came out today. Another confirmation. I saw this on the Washington Times. Another confirmation that President Trump is gaining in support with Hispanics. Now, there's been a lot of different polling data about this, and I think all of you know how I feel about polls. You have to take them with a great deal of skepticism. I will repeat what I've said many times. I don't know how you can take a poll in a country where very few people have a landline, and those who do don't answer it. So I don't know how in the world one can put together samples on those situations. But nevertheless, some of the polling data is indicating that President Trump is enjoying some support among Hispanics. If it's up by 10 points, what that says to me is that he's probably in the high 30s, I would think, 37, 38, in that vicinity. And that's actually a very good number for him, because you have to consider he was down at 27 or 28, something like that, when people actually voted in November of 2016. So if he's up to 38, let's just pick a number. Let's say 37. Let's just pick a number. Well, that is eating into a Democrat constituency that will probably have an impact in some states like Nevada, New Mexico. I don't think it'll matter in California, but it could have an impact, let's say, in Florida. Now, in Florida, you have a very interesting situation, because there you have a very strong wave of support from the Cuban-American community for the current Governor Scott, who's running for the Senate seat. And there you have a situation where the Hispanic vote could once again, in this case the Cuban vote in Florida, could once again be a factor in electing a Republican. They certainly did it for Bush in 2000 and 2004. No doubt that they did it for Trump in 2016, and you could have another case here in 2018. But why is the Hispanic vote going up? Why is President Trump gaining among Hispanics, as the Harris poll would suggest? I think it's very clear. I think it's very, very clear, and that is the economy. I think it's very clear, the economy. Look, when people are working, when people are having a better time economically, when it's easier to find work, when you come home and tell your wife that the company is expanding and looking for more people, those are good feelings. And those are the kinds of feelings that generally translate into more support for the incumbent. So if he's at 37-38% in 2020, and 2020 is still a long time away, but let's say he gets 37% of the popular Hispanic vote in 2020. That's going to really eat into a lot of the Democrat lead. So I'm expecting the Democrats to go panic here. I'm expecting the Democrats to go into full panic, and you're going to start seeing a lot of a lot of stuff about how Trump hates Mexicans and all that kind of stuff. That's coming, and that's going to come pretty quickly, because that's all they have, really. That's all they have. And what's interesting to me is that this polling data came out after the incident on the border, you know, when everything went to heck regarding President Trump and separations of families and so on. And yet it had no impact, at least in this poll, with respect to Hispanic support. In fact, it went up. So what that says to me is something that I have felt for quite some time, Hispanics are not sitting around all day long talking about immigration or DACA, that Hispanics are very much concerned about border security, as anybody else is, and that maybe the Democrats are barking up the wrong tree, or certainly the Democrats, their position on immigration, you know, abolishing ICE and all the stuff about separations of families, maybe it didn't work. In fact, I would tell you, I don't think it worked politically for President Trump. Not only is he doing better with Hispanics, but the Rasmussen daily tracking poll, which is, in my opinion, the most reliable of all of them, because it's the only daily tracking poll, and it's the only one who uses likely voters. And those are two very important things. Likely voters is really the key. He's up to 50% right now. He's up to 50% in that poll. That's a pretty good number. That's a heck of a lot better than he did, or that President Obama did at this time in his presidency. I think President Obama was at 45%. So when you look at everything going on, when you look at the cascade of negativity and negativity and negativity from the media, and this guy is gaining support with Hispanics, and at 50% on Rasmussen, I mean, that's amazing. What if he had gotten just half as much negative coverage? I think he'd be over 50% easily. I think he would. I think he would. So anyway, good numbers there for President Trump. Well, I mentioned about Maxine Waters. I have a post about Maxine Waters coming out tomorrow. You know, this is not the first time that Maxine Waters, the representative from California, has had to deal with ethical issues. Not long ago, there was an issue with a family bank, or I guess her family owned a bank or something like that, and there were some real concerns about it. One of her family members apparently got into some serious trouble. And now the latest thing being looked at is money that apparently is going to her daughter, campaign money and so on going to her daughter. Now, look, I can understand that, you know, if you've got the opportunity to help your family, you're going to do it. But when you're a public figure, you have to be very careful doing that, because when you're a public figure, you're held to a different standard than, let's say, a non-public figure. And I think, you know, when you compound all of that with the fact that Maxine Waters has been a daily critic, a minute-by-minute critic of everything that President Trump has done, including accusing her family or his family of this or that, whether it's Donald Trump Jr. or Ivanka Trump and all of that. I mean, when you're up front making accusations like Maxine Waters is making, and you're the face of the impeach 45 movement, I think you have to, as they say, you cannot live in a glass house when you are out there campaigning like that. So I think it's time to take a look at this lady and take a look at her finances as a public figure, and let's see if, in fact, maybe members of her family have not benefited over the years from her time in office. Again, I don't mind taking care of family. When you're a public figure, though, you have to be more careful with that kind of stuff and make sure that you're not enriching your family. I guess that's the only way to say it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information. Just look under show description, and you'll see the link to Carlo's schedule. Well, I mentioned at the top of the show that there's some new polling data. There's some new polling data circulating here in Texas suggesting that the race between Senator Cruz and Representative O'Rourke, who is a representative from El Paso, who's challenging him for the Senate seat, there's some new polling data that would suggest that the race is tightening. One of them was 41-39, which is, I think, pretty ridiculous, honestly, and the other one 49-43. And I just find this polling data difficult to believe, and I'll tell you why. It's not because I'm supporting Senator Cruz. I am, and I'm upfront about that. I tell you upfront, I'm supporting Senator Cruz. But the reason I don't take it oh, I don't take this polling data very seriously is because I go back to the March primary. The March primary, you had a lot of excitement, a lot of different contests in the Democratic side, and roughly about 1 million people showed up to vote for the Democrat senator or the candidates for the Democrat senator or the person who wanted to be the Democrat nominee, I guess. About 1 million people showed up to vote for that. About 60% voted for Robert O'Rourke, and so he got like 61-62% of the vote. On the Republican side, about 1.4 million people showed up to vote, and about 1.3, a little bit over 1.3, went for Ted Cruz. So I don't understand what has happened here in the last 4 months to make up for that difference in the votes. I don't see anything that Beto O'Rourke has done in the last 4 months to become or to have a better message for the people of Texas. I mean, he's a very liberal guy. If he was a centrist, here's my point. If he was a centrist Democrat, a Democrat who had different attitudes about abortion, gun control, immigration, ICE, impeaching Trump, if he had a different attitude about those things, then maybe I would believe that the race is tightening because, I mean, Senator Cruz is a very brilliant guy, but he's not exactly the world's most likable guy. But he's a very sharp fellow, and I plan to vote for him. But nevertheless, I can see a more telegenic or charismatic person maybe cutting into his lead. But Beto O'Rourke is a liberal in every sense of the word. I mean, this is a liberal who is about as unlikely to win anything in Texas as Wendy Davis was 4 years ago. I'll just give you another number to consider. In 2012, when Senator Cruz, at the time Citizen Cruz, ran for election to the U.S. Senate, he got 4 million votes. He got 1.3 million in the primary. There are lots of Republicans who didn't vote in the primary because, frankly, there were no contest. So my guess is that when it's all said and done, that Senator Cruz's total vote is going to be closer to 4 million votes. Now, on top of that, you have to add Governor Abbott to the equation, who's running at the very top of the ticket, a super popular candidate for governor for reelection. So what I see, frankly, is Senator Cruz winning by 10 points when it's all said and done. And I'll say it again. I think it'll be a 55-45 victory. One point back and forth here and there, maybe 56-44, 54-46, something like it'll be in that range, 10 points. And that's how I think it's going to happen. I simply have not seen anything since the primary to make these numbers change. 1.3 million for Cruz, 600,000 for O'Rourke. What has happened since March to make O'Rourke more electable in Texas? I don't see anything, frankly. His positions are just as liberal as always. So that's why I don't take these polls very seriously. I really don't. I just cannot believe that Texas would elect a liberal as a senator. I just don't believe that, and I think I'm being very realistic on that assessment. A couple of things from on this day in history. In 1905, Myrna Loy, who was also known in the movies as Nora Charles, she and Nick Charles, that was the character that William Powell used to play, they were a couple, they're a wonderful couple. They made a bunch of movies together, and they were just delightful. I think they're one of the most enjoyable Hollywood couples. I don't think that they were a real couple in real life. That I don't know. But certainly on the screen, they had tremendous chemistry. And they were one of the most enjoyable Hollywood couples of all time, playing Nick and Nora Charles and their little puppy. And it was just great. Absolutely great stuff. If you have a chance to watch one of those movies, please do. In 1979, very tragic day for baseball, Thurman Munson, who was the catcher for the Yankees, was killed in a plane crash. And he was one of my all-time favorite players, just a great player, very competitive, very good player, Thurman Munson, who was killed on this day. And in 1990, if you remember this, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And didn't that change a lot of things? Can you imagine? Just think of everything that changed after he made that decision to invade Kuwait. So much changed after that fateful day in August of 1990. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.